I'll try to be quick. I hope, what time do you guys finish? 12:30? Okay, good. Okay, I have 15 minutes. So. Okay. That's generous, Pastor. Okay. It's interesting when we see in Luke chapter 14, we see a promise that Caleb claims. Yes, Joshua chapter 14. A promise that was given to him. In 2013, LifeWay made a research in different congregations, about 2,900 participants in several churches. And they found that 90% of believers have a firm desire to please and honor Jesus in all they do, which is good, right? That's what you should expect of people that go to church. However, what for their surprise, only 19% of those people who said that they have a desire to honor Jesus in all they do, only 19% read their Bibles daily. This is according to a study released in November 2013. Not only that, they also came up with other findings. It says, as a churchgoer, they read the Bible every day. 19% affirms they read the Bible. 26% read the Bible a few times a week. 14% says they read the Bible once a week. 22% says once a month or a few times a month. And 18% says they never read the Bible. You know what? If we have to do that same survey today here, we might find the same findings. And probably you have genuine reasons that you say, well, you know, brother, I have to get up too early to go to work, and I can't read my Bible early in the morning, as some people suggest. And by the time I get home, I'm too tired to read the Bible. And that could be a valid point, right? Some people say, well, I read my Bible when I get to church. And pastor say, open my book, my Bible, so I'll go and read my Bible. Okay, that could be another valid point. But then you get into the percentage of people who read the Bible when you really do. The problem with the contemporary Christianity is that we are content to hear stories about the Bible. We like to hear what we like, what makes us feel good, what inspires us. However, we are not willing to read about the consequences and the trials and the difficulties that sometimes life brings our way. As a consequence, many of our brothers are easily deceived to accept new ideologies of culture that infiltrate the church. In our findings, we found that we are unable to battle the changes that is affecting our society and culture. Therefore, we are unable to seek for wisdom how to overcome trials and temptations. Many of us struggle to find answers, comfort, or even promises that encourages us. In the book of Joshua, we're going to see that Joshua, at the age of 85, he never lost sight about the promises that God made to him when he was only 40. At that time, he was young. How many people of 40 consider themselves young? He did. He never lost sight of that promise that it was given to him, because he trusted the word of God. He trusted what was given to him, and that made the whole difference. 40 years went by. You know, we're going to see that after 45 years, he still believed in those promises. And the scripture says in verse 6, it starts, it says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy on the land, and I brought him word against it again, and it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet hath trodden shall thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time, for this opportunity. Lord, especially to see the life of Caleb, and Lord, challenge us through that and to see how much need we have these days, Lord, to cling to your word and your promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We sometimes fall into the trap of adaptability of our culture. Today, less and less, we see people knowing about what is the meaning, really, to trust in the Word of God. I was just recently, this week, speaking at a conference for teenagers in Massachusetts. The last time I was there, it was 9 years ago. And it was exciting. 9 years ago, that made me feel old. Because I came across to one of the leaders. He says, "I was a child when the last time you came." I said, "Oh, great, don't tell me anymore." But she said, "You know, I was excited. I learned so much." But 9 years ago, several of those teenagers that we get to meet even then during our trip, all of them were attentive during those meetings with their Bibles at hand. And you could see it's exciting when people are learning, because they're highlighting, they're writing, they're making notes, and they have these, right? Well, 9 years ago, we have a great development in technology, which is called, you know, iPhones or phones, smartphones, and they're smarter than us. And we even have now our Bibles that are digital here. So we no longer have to carry this, you know, okay, phone, Bible, phone, carry everywhere. But because of that, also, with the technology that we have, we have lost access of how even to discover our Bible. The biggest struggle that today many people has is to find something in the Bible. They don't know how to read a Bible. You know, yes, okay, we have adapted to our culture and in the advancement of technology. It could have been good, you know, as a good thing to happen in our lives. However, it also takes us of not understanding God's will. By not knowing where to search, you don't know where to find God's will in your life. If you don't highlight it, you're not writing it, you don't make notes on it, you don't know where to find it when you really need it. We don't know, understand about the promises of God. You know, we see in Caleb, in the section that we read, that Caleb never compromised his convictions. For 45 years, he waited firmly about those promises that was made to him. But it's not just because he had a point or at a moment where he believed in those promises, but he knew God personally. It's interesting when you look at the meaning of Caleb. In Hebrew, Caleb, it means dog. Or who on earth would name your son, doggy, dog? No, you won't do that. Okay, why would they do that? That means that he was a Gentile that went to live with the nation of Israel. So he was adopted in to the people of Israel. But he believed in the God of the Hebrews. He had a personal relationship with that God, and he believed him. He trusted him. So with that, you know, I want you to highlight this. It says in verse 7, at the end of verse 7, it says, "I brought him word again, and it was what it was in my heart." He's talking about the report that he gave to Moses. The scriptures tell us in the book of Numbers that Caleb and Joshua were the only two young ones, age of 40, to came up to the nation and say, "God is in it. He's going to give us this land." Everybody else was against that. But he doesn't. He didn't. He believed that. And he says, "I brought him word." Then look at in verse 8 and highlight, it says, "I wholly follow the Lord my God." He's talking about that in his convictions, he followed the God that it was everything for him. Sometimes we have to go through difficult times in our lives for then to think, God, where are you? Right? Where are you when I need you? And we think that God is conditioned only to come to my rescue when I need him. But even then, when we have those situations when I need him, we don't even know where to claim those needs. Like Psalms 27 says, King David says, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Or whom shall I fear? When you are in situations that are difficult, when people oppress you, or when you are in problems at work, when you are criticized, and sometimes when you're criticized because of your faith, where do you go to overcome that? The reason that we have a huge increase in depression, in anxiety, in suicide today is because people don't know where to go. You can go to a psychologist, tell me your problem. Okay, you live with your problem. That doesn't mean that it's gone. It doesn't mean that your psychologist will take it and he wrap it up and throw it away. No, it's still there. But Psalms 27 says, you know, the Lord is my rock. It's talking about foundation, my friends. It's talking about something that is unmovable. It's talking about firmness. But if we're not even willing to stand on that rock, or you don't know how to get to that rock, we will struggle with different areas of our lives. This is a very common problem, especially with our young people. I've been talking to different professors, and this year we've been doing a series of studies on anxiety and depression. And talking to a professor, he was telling me, Santiago, you know, we have a huge problem with anxiety among college students. And I said, how is that? How do you guys say it? Well, it's very easy. We come exam week, students will come, and they will say, we can't do it. We are, you know, we have anxiety. And the university has ruled that if a student comes and tells you they have anxiety, then you have to give them opportunities for them to do the exams at another time that is suitable to them. Not only that, this is just one thing. If the students are even then struggling with that, the university will set up a petting zoo for the students to come, pet puppies, for them to release the stress of having exam weeks. That's what is happening, my friends. This is what is happening right now with universities. Not only this might be funny in North Carolina, but now I've been going through different other states, and the same thing is happening with many universities today. You know what is creating a problem? Is that our youth are unable to face situations, hard situations in life, and know how to deal with them. And we, as an adult, have failed to instruct our young people how to trust and know God so they can put all their trust in him. But I understand why. Because we completely don't know where to find it in the scriptures. That is a huge problem. Not only that, I had a friend who is a realtor. And one day he says to me, four of his students that rented one of his properties came to him and says, we had a very stressful semester. It was hard. So we decided to reward ourselves, so this month we're not going to pay the bill, the rent. It might be a joke. You might think it's a joke, but it was real. It was truth. He said, no problem, I'll take you to court. But that's how they feel, because what? Okay, they don't have those mechanisms. Caleb, he cleaved to God's promises as anything that he had. The reason today we struggle with these areas of anxiety and depression and different areas of our lives is because we don't know where to go. We don't know where to find that comfort in the scriptures. Just the other day, I was talking to a young man on Friday that he struggled with depression. And I said to him, you know what? You need to understand that God's promises are truth. And especially when you look at it, Psalms 40 identified David going through that stage of depression himself. And he identified depression as being dead in the mud you know, is in the pity. And he describes the feeling and the emotion that is to be there without hope. David understands it very well because David struggled with depression for a part of his life, for 2 years of his life. He struggled with depression. But, you know, when Psalm 40 changes, because he says, then, you know, I cried to the Lord. And what happened? He took me out of the, you know, out of that place. And then put my feet on the rock. That's why you see how important the rock is. Even Jesus, he says, I am the rock. But we don't know how to take people to that rock because we don't know the rock. We don't know what foundations are. We don't know what stability is. We need to cleave to God's promises, believe them. He says in verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden, thou shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. One of the greatest causes of discouragement among Christians today is the lack of knowledge and disbelief in God's promises. People have said once to me, well, that works for you. Oh, yeah, that's easy said than done. Friends, I can't tell you that I'm a man of great faith because I am not. But I have learned to hard times in my life to trust in the Lord. Sometimes hard lessons in life have taught me how to trust in Him. And probably what I'm telling you is very basic. You know, it's something that we ought to know. But, you know, the struggles that we face is also real. When my wife and I, we decided to go into full-time ministry, I didn't know what it meant to live by faith or the meaning of what is by living by faith. We, all of us, in one way or another, we have a job, and we depend on the mighty greenback to help us pay bills, make commitments that we have, get groceries done, house maintenance, car, fueling the car. We depend on all those things. Right? But when you don't have any of that and you just need to trust in God's provision, that's something else. When we decide to be in full-time ministry, we have to come to a crash course in trusting God, because my whole trust was in my ability to make money. And even then, I didn't get it. It came to a point the Lord took everything that was precious to me, everything that I thought it had, and to a point that I didn't have any food in the fridge. I don't know how many of you have come to that point. No fuel in the fridge, your car broke, no job. I came to that point, that emptiness. And not only that, I got upset with God. And I said, where are you, God? I said, I already said that I will serve you in hell. Listen, look at this. I'm living like this. Don't have any food. And there was that particular Sunday that we didn't have lunch because we didn't have food. And then it was coming Sunday evening. We were hungry, but we didn't have money. Nothing. Empty fridge. And I was so upset with God. I just decided, I'm not going to church today. Have it happened to you that way? You feel, not going to church. I'm upset with you, God. Well, that was me. And while that happened, that afternoon, I decided to go and water the garden. That's all what I was saying. I was just still upset with God and telling God how I felt. To my surprise, a young man drives into my driveway. He was a college student that, you know, we were ministering to him. And I immediately, when I saw him, I said, Lord, come on. On top of this, you send a hungry, broke college student into our house, and I don't have anything to feed him. I said, come on. But this guy had a face like he was kind of confused. It was like, he had a confused face. And he walks to me, and he looks at me, he rear, and he comes, and I say, hey, Ryan, how are you doing? And I says, good. And he asked me, how are you doing? I said, oh, okay. And I said, how can I help you? He says, well, we just finished church, and the Lord put in my heart that I needed to come to see you and to take you and Jackie for dinner. In that moment, I understood that God was still real, that he was still supplying, and that regardless of the circumstances, he was still in control. And I didn't doubt him no more, that he would continue providing as he provided that night. And I'm here today. My friends, sometimes we have those tantrums with God, right? We get upset. But the Bible tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord, Hebrews 13:5. It says, my children will not go hungry. He promised that. But we don't know how to claim those promises. And sometimes the Lord gives us those hints for us to see he's still there. And that's the only moments we have to say, Lord, thank you. Caleb had that moment in his life, but it took 45 years for him to see it through. He believed what Moses told him. He believed in the promises that God gave him. He clinged to it. He knew that God's word was real. Caleb saw the circumstances and as a challenge, and the challenge as an opportunity. Who at age of 85 will see that with, you know, that promise, it says, okay, this is my time. The deal was for the nation of Israel, all the tribes would go and fight and get the land what they needed to get. So everybody had to wait. And Caleb had to wait to the end. Even though the nation didn't gain all the land, Caleb waited to the opportunity that it was his turn. You know, Caleb sees that, he sees the places, says, give me that hill that God has promised. You know, when you think strategically or militarily, you think that way. Any hill has a great advantage against invaders. It has a military strategy. It has a watch-over strategy. You can see your enemies from afar. You can have better defenses. Caleb, when he was 40 years old, he saw the challenge and he believed they could take it. 45 years, he says, I still believe that I can take it, but not my strength. God has given it to us. But now, that's mine. He saw the opportunity as a challenge, and the challenge as an opportunity. And then Joshua blessed him. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain. And the Lord spake that day, the hottest day now in the Anakims where they are, in the cities with that great fence. So it be the Lord, it will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I don't know what your hills are. I don't know what, you know, those wooded mountains are in your life. I don't know the struggles that where you are right now. But let me ask you this question. How much do you trust in God's promises? And if you don't, my friends, this is key. This book is the guide for my faith and practice. If it's going to be for me the source of my strength, the source of my growth, the source of my knowledge, then we have to know them. The reason that our youth today fail is because we fail. But, you know, when we finish reading this passage, we see that Caleb gained that land, that hill. The benefit was not just for him at age 85. He died not soon after. But it was for his children and his children's children. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6, it says, love God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your might. And teach your children to love God the same way so they might be good here on earth. You know, my friends, if you fail knowing this and you fail claiming those promises, you will fail leading your children and they will grow without this. I would like to encourage you as a body of Christ, my friend, to embrace it. Because in that way, you will be able to conquer those hills by knowing his word, by applying it, by trusting it, by relying it, by resting on it. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for your promises, Lord, that you have made for us, and especially, Lord, on how you are able to deliver us. But, Lord, Give us, because we have neglected your word. We can see our society growing in such a way that, Lord, everything that is unholy is called normal. And we sometimes shake our heads and think, okay, how can this be? How can this grow be? It's not that you have allowed it. We have allowed it. Help us to reclaim those promises back. Help us to believe, Lord, that this nation is not lost. Help us, to Lord, to trust that if we, as people, we can come to you, that you will bless this nation. But how will the nation know if we don't go? If we don't teach them? If we don't reach them? If we don't show them that you are the true God, the creator and sustainer of the universe? Thank you for that great opportunity, Lord. And help us, Father, that for us to fulfill my commitment in the days that you have us here on earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.